Welcome to the Landmark Podcast. I'm Jason Calhoun, pastor of Landmark Pentecostal Church in Texarkana, Texas. We encourage you to visit us on the web at landmarkupc.net for a schedule of services and upcoming events. We pray that you are blessed by the message today. Thank you again for listening. I invite your attention to the Word of the Lord, to the book of Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. How many wants the Lord to help you tonight? Praise God. Ephesians chapter number 1, and I'll just begin reading with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise, everybody say praise, of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted. Aren't you thankful that you're part of the church? You've been accepted by God. Amen. That you're here in this house tonight, accepted in the beloved. Amen. To be a part of the church is a very wonderful thing that the Lord has allowed for us. But I want to focus on that word praise, and I simply want to use these verses of Scripture for the next few moments to preach this subject tonight, taking praise to the faith level. Taking praise to the faith level. Would you lift up your hands along with your voices unto the Lord, and let's pray that God would help us in the continuation of this service here tonight. Jesus, we do need your help, your blessing, your touch. We need the strength of the Holy Ghost to do your work tonight. I pray that you would anoint the minds and the hearts of every person in this place. Let your perfect and sovereign will be done. We thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Would you clap your hands again to him and pray? Thank you for standing, and you may be seated. I'm going to start out very elementary here tonight and make a very basic statement, and that is reiterate the fact that we are created. We are created to praise God. If you did not realize that, you need to get a revelation of it as a saint of God, that you are created to give praise and thanks to the Lord. It has been my observation that people praise something. People give themselves to worshiping something. It's not always God. It's not always the true and living God. It's not always Jesus Christ, but they give themselves to praising something. For some, it's praising sports figures. For others, it's movie stars. For others, it's maybe material things such as money and wealth and prestige, and we could go on and on. But because we have this innate within us, we were created with it, a desire and a longing and a need to give praise unto something. We were created to praise God. Sometimes people substitute it with other things, but we were primarily created to give praise unto Him. The Bible tells us in Psalms 150, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. And I could go on and give you several more scriptures that indicate to us that we were given breath, we were given life to give praise to God. Recently I taught, as we are preaching through the book of Psalms, I taught on a Wednesday night from Psalms 33 and 1, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. In other words, it's not something that is unattractive to them, but it's something that they love and that they are endeared to do, to give praise unto God. It is comely. There's nothing wrong with it to that person that is living righteously before God. It's something that they enjoy. I can't speak for you tonight, but I believe I'm in good company when I say this, that we are a church, we are a people that relishes the opportunity to come to the house of God, to lay down our cares, our worries, our situations of life, and put all of that aside for just a little while, and put on the garment of praise, exchange that for the spirit of heaviness that sometimes we have to carry throughout the week, and have the opportunity to sing the songs and to worship God and to give thanks and praise to Him. It's not a burden for me to lift my hands. It's not a burden. Nobody has to really encourage me to do so, to lift up my voice and to want to give praise and thanksgiving unto God. When I consider the blessings of the Lord, when I consider how good God has been to each one of us, amen, there's something that wants to explode in my heart, amen, when I come to His house, amen. There's something that is ready to be expressed, is ready to be given unto God, and that is praise and thanks unto Him. I'm thankful that He's called me out of darkness into this marvelous light. I'm thankful that I'm standing here, redeemed, set free, delivered, amen. I'm in this place, able to raise holy hands unto God without wrath and without doubting, as the scripture says, and give praise to Him, and give honor to Him, and lift up His holy name. Amen. I don't understand so-called apostolics that don't enjoy, that don't really enjoy praising and worshiping God, because no matter how long you've known the Lord, He still has the ability to wow us. I said He still has the ability to wow us. Amen. It doesn't matter how long you've been around the church, how long you've had the Holy Ghost, how long your tenure is in God, He still has the ability to totally astonish you and leave you in total wonderment, because He is just that great. He is just that good. About the time that you feel like you've got Him figured out, amen, He'll surprise you with something better. About the time you think He's done all He can do in your life, He'll do just a little bit more. Amen. About the time that you feel like He's done so much, there's just not many things that are left for Him to do. Amen. Can I tell you that the Lord has the ability to wow you and show you that there's more? Amen. And there's more, and there's more. Amen. I do not ever run out of blessing. I do not ever run out of goodness. I do not ever run out of grace. I do not ever run out of mercy. I still have power to do much more than you've ever seen me do. Can I tell you, as great a miracles as we have seen, as many prayers as we have witnessed Him answering, as many testimonies as there is in this house, can I tell Landmark Pentecostal Church that God, the God that we serve, still has the ability to wow us? He can still do more than what even we have seen. And we as a church over the last several decades have seen him do some wonderful and mighty things. We've seen him heal cancer. We've seen him save lost loved ones. We've seen him do all kinds of manner of things in our lives and work things out and do the impossible. But as much as he has done, I believe that he's trying to tell us in this room tonight that I have more in store for you. There's greater things that I want to do in your midst. If you'll just believe me and if you'll just trust me, I have some wonderful things yet in store for you. That ought to make somebody happy tonight. That ought to make somebody thrilled in their spirit tonight. That ought to encourage somebody that maybe is distraught and wonders if God hasn't give up or if God is through with you. I want to encourage you in the Holy Ghost. God's not near about done. There's more that he wants to do. There's greater things that he wants to reveal. Amen. There's greater power. There's greater glory. There's greater revival for those that are hungry for it. Oh, clap your hands and give praise to the Lord tonight. The psalmist said, I fainted to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In other words, I grew weak when I saw the goodness of God and how great God is and his exceeding mercy and his exceeding ability to give to his people. When I saw it, I grew faint. Amen. I was swooned. I didn't know. I couldn't even fathom it. I couldn't even totally understand it and grasp it all. I fainted to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Praise God. Can I tell you that we're living in a good place? In the church of the living God, being a part of the beloved, being part of the body of Christ is a good place to be. Don't ever let the devil try to snatch you out of the church. Don't ever let the devil try to convince you that this is not the best place for you. Don't ever let the devil try to lie and deceive you. There's a deceiving spirit that is afoot in this world that tries to captivate the minds of people and convince them that some way there is something out there that they are missing out on. But I've come to tell you that's a lie. That's a lie from the father of all lies, the devil himself. I've come to tell you the best place for you is within the church. The safest place for you is in the church. The most protected place for you is in the church. That's where you're blessed. That's where you're kept. Amen. That's where life, amen, is more abundant, is in the church of the living God. I've seen a lot of people come this way from a lot of different walks of life. I've seen people come out of drugs to the church. I've seen people come out of alcoholism to the church. I've seen people that were steeped in immorality come into the church. I've seen people in false religion come to the church. I've seen people in denominalism come into the truth and be revealed the truth and God save them and then be baptized in his name and filled with his spirit, because that's what it takes to be a part of the church that I'm talking about. You got to be born into this church. I've seen people come from all walks of life, from all different ages, some spinning years out there. And I've never seen one of them that said, you know, I wish I would have waited a little while longer and experienced a little bit more of the world. I wish I'd have gotten a little bit more involved and tried a few more things out there before I gave my life to God and came to the church. I've never heard one person say that. But I have had a lot of them say to me, you know, the only regret that I have is that I didn't come sooner to God, that I didn't give my life to him a day sooner, that I didn't dedicate myself to him a whole lot sooner, that I didn't come to an old-fashioned altar and repent of my sins, get filled with the Holy Ghost a whole lot sooner, because this was what I was looking for when I was in sin. This was what I was looking for when I was drinking alcohol. This was what I was looking for when I was smoking dope. This was what I was looking for when I was popping pills. This was what I was looking for when I was shooting drugs. This was what I was looking for in false religion, but I found it when I got the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil lie to you. This is the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Praise God. We come out of a dry place when we come out of sin. We come out of a place of heartache when we come out of sin. We come out of a place where there was no blessing, where there was no hope when we came out of sin. You see, when you live for the world and you live in sin, what you get in this earth is all you get. That's all you get. You better party it up. You better get the most out of it. You better ring it out, because that's all you're going to get. But can I tell you, for those of us that are part of the church, We not only get the riches of the Holy Ghost and His grace and His mercy and feel His presence and His power and feel this joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and peace that passeth all understanding. You can't purchase that with money. You can't buy that. Yeah, you have to buy more alcohol to drown away your sorrows. You have to buy more dope to bring you to a high so you can forget about your heartache. But when you get the Holy Ghost, it gives you peace. You can't purchase that. You can't buy that. You can't buy joy. You can't buy what I'm feeling here in the presence of the Lord. It only comes through experiencing the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Reading recently about all the money that is spent on prescription drugs, all the money that is spent on counseling and support systems and groups, and I know they're all doing their very best, and I'm not ridiculing any of it, but I'm just stating to you that I found something better than Zoloft. I found something better than Prozac. I found something better than all the cheap substitutes and the little games that people play in this world that only pushes the problem down the road a little bit so they'll have to deal with it tomorrow. What I got and what I've experienced, amen, makes everything in your life new again. And you start all over. Praise God. I feel like I hit a little bit of bump right there. I'm just telling you, you don't have to play cover up no more. You don't have to try to get by masquerade any longer. You don't just get a prescription pill to push the troubles down the road just a little further. You get the Holy Ghost. Amen. You get true joy. You get true happiness. You get true fulfillment. Paul was addressing in this epistle the Ephesian church, of course. And that's why we call the book of Ephesians. But I notice here in this first verse, he said, to the saints which are in Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. I'm glad it says that, because that means everybody. Amen. I'm writing this and addressing it to the church at Ephesus, but I want other people to read this. And I want this to be more than just a message to that church, but I want it to be a message to the body of Christ. And so it was meant to be read by other churches, and we're still reading it today. In other words, this message was for everyone that was a part of the body of Christ. And Paul teaches us in these first few verses of Scripture, in this passage that I read to you, that praise, there is praise on three levels. First of all, there is thanksgiving. That's a part of praise. We praise Him for what He has done. And then, number two, there is adoration. We praise Him for who He is. His mercy, His compassion. We praise Him for His excellent greatness. We praise Him for His grace. We praise Him for His abilities. We praise Him for His healing power. And then there is a third dimension that I want to focus on here in just a little while tonight. And that is a dimension that we push our praise to, that I want to call the dimension of faith. Not just for what He has done do we praise Him. Not just for who He has been do we praise Him. Not just for who He is do we praise Him. But we praise him for what he is going to do. Because he is an exceeding and abundant God, that means that he always has something in store for his people. I don't believe that God ever reaches a place and says, well, I've given you all I'm going to give you. You're as close to me as you can be. You've got as much anointing as you're going to have in your walk with God, on your journey to heaven. This is all you can experience, and this is all you can have. I don't believe it works like that at all. But I believe the scripture says that we go from glory to glory and faith to faith. I believe that this experience in God is always abounding. I believe this experience in God is always moving forward. I believe this experience in God is always taking us places. We're always growing in God. In verse 3, he writes, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is adoration. Amen. That is praising the Lord for who he is. Amen. That he is our Father. Amen. That we know and have a revelation of who that Father is. He's manifest. Amen. And the man Christ Jesus. Aren't you thankful that you know who Jesus is? That he's not just the second person in a fictitious Trinity, but he's God manifest in the flesh. He's not Jehovah Jr., but he is Jesus Christ, the one that is able to redeem us from all sin. Praise the Lord. And then he continues on, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. That's thanksgiving. That's praising him for what he has done. That's thanking him. And I believe we could spend the rest of our time here tonight. And at times we do get caught up, and we should, in praising the Lord and thanking God for the things that he's done. If you got a testimony, you need to be thankful. You need to remember. You need to go back every once in a while and pick up and thank God for the things that he brought you out of. The Bible instructs us to never forget the pit from which we were dug. To never forget where he brought us from and what God has done for us and how he filled us with his spirit and how that we came to the revelation of who he is and how that we came to this glorious truth and how that we become a part of the body of Christ, the church. We need to always remember that. Every one of us, we have different testimonies. We have different ways that we came. I think probably better expressed, we have different avenues that we took to get to this place, but we all were born in the church the same way. But God dealt with us in different ways, and God gave us different experiences to bring us to this place. He brought us out of different lifestyles. Some of us never thought that we'd ever have this opportunity. Some of us never felt like we'd ever have this chance. But because of the grace of God, we're here. Because of the grace of God, we're in this place. We're part of the church of the living God because he is so good to us. And we every once in a while need to give some thanksgiving. I don't know about you and your prayer life, but I walk up and down these aisles and I just lift my hands sometimes and say, God, I thank you. I thank you that you gave me this truth. I thank you that I've been baptized in your name. I thank you for filling this young man with the Holy Ghost. I thank you for your mercy day by day. I thank you for keeping me all these many years. I thank you for healing my body. I thank you for protecting my family. I thank you for providing for me. I thank you for working things out for me. I thank you for carrying me through. I thank you that I made it this far on the journey. I'm thankful. Come on, is there anybody that's thankful here tonight? I said, is there anybody that is thankful here in this house tonight? But then the Apostle Paul takes it a little further. He takes praise to the faith level. Verse number 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. That is speaking of things to come. Predestined. He looked down. He saw where we were at. And I know a lot of people, especially us apostolics, we don't believe in the doctrine of predestination as some believe it. We don't believe in Calvinism. We don't espouse to those kind of ideas because that's false doctrine. We don't believe in a once saved, always saved. We don't believe that God has an elect that he's chosen and nobody else can get in no matter how and they desire to, and that God just has certain people that he wants to save and other people that are just predestined to go to hell. I don't believe that. Bible said, whosoever will, let him come. Amen. And the Bible tells us that even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And when he's calling people and he's dealing with people, we got to respond to that call. But he predestined, amen, that if we would accept and if we would obey and if we would fulfill the call of God and we would open up our hearts to the call of God upon our lives, then he had purpose for our lives. There was things that he wants to do. Can I tell you that every person in this building, he has a purpose for your life. There's things that he wants to do. There are purposes that maybe never will be fulfilled because you won't allow God to do it. But that doesn't mean that God has not predestined some things and not willed some things. We sometimes hinder the will of God. We sometimes stop the will of God. Do you know that humans can stop the will of a sovereign God? Because God chooses to allow that. We know that God can manipulate things, and we know that God can force things if that's what he chose to do. But when it comes to the human soul, he said, I'm going to make you a free moral agent of choice. I'm going to give you the opportunity to accept or reject me. I'm going to give you the opportunity. You don't have to come if you don't want to come. You don't have to live for me if you don't want to live for me. That's why I laugh at people that say, well, I don't know if I want to go to that Pentecostal church because, you know, they may make me do this, or they may make me do that, or they may throw dust on me and make me speak in tongues. First of all, if I had some, I'd be tossing on everybody tonight. I'd be sprinkling everybody in this house because I've had to preach pretty hard to get some of you at least to say amen. Praise the Lord. So if I had some, I'd be using it tonight, bless your heart. But we don't have any. We don't have any. Oh, no. God is not going to force anybody. I don't know what your preconceived ideas is about Pentecost, but God not going to force anybody. You don't get the Holy Ghost unless you want the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, you got to want it with everything that's within you to receive the Holy Ghost. Yeah, matter of fact, you got to get everything that's in the way out of the way in order to receive the Holy Ghost. You got to be willing to repent of everything, lay it all on the altar in order to get the Holy Ghost. You don't get the Holy Ghost by accident. You don't receive the Spirit of the Lord just by coincidence, but it's intentional. You desire the Holy Ghost if you receive the Holy Ghost. So don't worry about anything jumping off on you, because nothing's going to jump off on you unless you want it to jump off on you. Amen. Praise God. God's not into jumping off on people anyway. Amen. He moves upon people that desire him and hunger for him. And just because you're not hungry for God doesn't mean that there isn't people that's hungry for God. And just because there are some that reject him doesn't mean that there's others that will not receive him. Praise the Lord. There's always somebody. We should never get arrogant and think, well, I'll come to God on my own terms. No, that's not how it works. You don't come to God on your own terms. You come to God on his terms. Amen. You come to God because he allows you to come to him. I said it this morning, no man comes unless the Spirit first draws him. You got to be compelled by the Spirit of God. That's why some people can sit in a Pentecostal church service and they think they are choosing to not live for the Lord. And they say, well, I don't feel anything. Well, the Spirit's not moving on you because you're too obstinate. You're too stubborn for God to move on you. And God doesn't owe you a move. God doesn't owe you a feeling. But you do owe God everything. You understand that? I said, you owe God praise whether or not you give it. You owe God worship whether or not you give it. You owe God faithfulness whether or not you give it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You owe him your life, whether or not you give it, because he gave everything to purchase you. You are not your own, but you've been bought with a price, the Bible says. He purchased you. Hallelujah. And so he said, having predestinated and allowed us to be a part of this adoption process. That's speaking of things to come. You see, some things it's easy to praise him for. It's easy sometimes to praise God for who he is. Praise him. Praise him for his mighty acts, as the scripture says. Praise him for his excellent greatness. Praise him. Praise him for his mercy. Praise him. Praise him for his compassion upon us. Praise him for his power. Praise him for his ability to heal. Praise him for all the things that he is. And I'm thankful that he is all of those things. But it's easy sometimes to praise the Lord for those things. And often it's easy for us to recount all the things that he's done and to praise him for those things. If he's healed you of a dreaded disease, it's not hard for you to say, thank you, Jesus, for doing that. If he saved you out of a life of sin and addiction, and maybe there were people in this place, you were smoking 2 or 3 packs a day, and you tried nicotine patches and Nicoderm and chewed the gum and been to the doctor and took all the medication and done all the things, and maybe you even inhaled some of that vapor stuff. I see these vapor deals hopping up everywhere around here. I don't know what the deal is, but anybody that would inhale formaldehyde into their body, well, that's another story. Maybe it'd be a little cheaper to embalm you when it's all said and done. But you were addicted to all those things, and he saved you out of it. Oh, praise God. Oh, every once in a while, it's easy for us to get to thinking about our testimony and what God has done and give him thanksgiving and give him praise for those things. But can I preach to you, it's time for us to take praise to the faith level tonight and say, I'm not just going to praise you for who you are, God, and I'm not just going to praise you for what you have done. But I'm going to have faith enough and courage enough and be led of the Holy Ghost and step out on your word that's being preached here tonight, and I'm going to praise you for what I know and believe according to the word of God that you promised me. I'm going to step out on the word of God. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. And I'm going to take this thing to the faith level. And I'm going to start praising you for healing in my body that I haven't felt. I'm going to start praising you for salvation for my children that I haven't seen. I'm going to start praising you for miracles in my life. I'm going to start praising you for financial blessing that I desperately need. I'm going to take praise to the faith level. I feel the anointing breaking up some yokes in this house, destroying some chains in this place. Somebody needs to step it up a notch. You've been praising him for what he is, and that's good. You've been praising him for what he's done, that's good. But what about praising him for what he's capable of doing in your life? Come on, somebody bring it up just a little bit. Let's praise God in that arena of faith. Praise him when you can't see it. Praise him when you can't feel it. Praise him when you don't have, amen, anything to go on but the word of God. Woo! I feel something building here. Just stay with me here. Just stand with me for just a moment. 2 Kings chapter number 3. Hallelujah. I feel like we're going to blow the cap off this thing a little bit here tonight. Yeah, that's right. There was a drought. Drought in those days caused famines. When cattle couldn't drink, sheep couldn't drink, they died. Farms could not be watered. Vegetation died. And these kings got together and said, we got to find somebody who can get in touch with God. I don't know why they hadn't found a preacher sooner than that. That's usually the way it goes. I need to find a, what's the preacher's phone number? My God, hell's breaking loose on every corner. You know, hadn't been listening to too much of his preaching until I get in trouble, until I got problems. I'm going to tell you what, if most folks would listen to what I preach over this pulpit, they wouldn't need a whole lot of counseling. That's right. If you'd listen to the Word of God, be faithful to the house of God. It's amazing to me the people that dominate most of a preacher's time counseling, and I'm not begrudging the fact because there is times when we need it. Amen. But most of the time, it's people that are not faithful to church. My God, I just ruined a good service, didn't I? People don't come to the house of God about half the time. That's the ones that want special appointments. Amen. Praise the Lord. But folks that are hearing the Word of God, they're going to get what they need. And they'll make course corrections in their life. Praise the Lord. And so they got a hold of the preacher. And they said, we need a word from God. We need the Lord to move in our situation. This is a dire situation. We've got to have an answer. And it was dry and it was parched and it was arid. And they needed water. They needed rain. And it hadn't rained for some time. And the Bible says this, that the man of God, Elisha, he said, bring me a minstrel. Now, this was a musical instrument that he was bringing. And every once in a while, before you can get a word from God, you got to worship God. You got to praise the Lord. You can't just come out of a dry, cold world and come into the house. That's why we have times of worship and praise and thanksgiving before we start hearing the Word of God, because you really are not in a condition to hear from God's Word and receive God's Word if you haven't been worshiping God. And he got to worship, and the Lord started moving. And he said this, he said, make this valley full of ditches. Now, that's not exactly what those fellows wanted to hear. They wanted to hear it's going to start raining, and it's going to come a big thunder burst, and I mean, it's going to fill this whole valley up, and you're not going to have to put any effort into it whatsoever. They didn't want to make that valley full of ditches. They didn't want to have to put any effort into it. They didn't want to have to dig any. But sometimes if we expect God's intervention, he expects us to do a little something. Amen. He commanded those at Lazarus' tomb to roll away the stone. Now, anybody that's able to call somebody out of a grave is able to call supernaturally that stone to be moved, don't you think? Praise the Lord. He went and got Paul, sent an angel to get Paul out of the prison, or Peter, rather, out of the prison house. And the Bible says that he opened the doors, but Peter had to walk out of the prison doors in order to get to where Mary's house, where the saints were praying. That's right. He demands a little bit of us sometimes. He said, make this valley full of ditches. And they got to worshiping God. And he said this, that this valley of ditches is going to be filled with water. And he said, you're not going to see wind, and you're not ever going to be able to see the rain, yet every ditch that you dig is going to be filled. Praise God. That just excites me to know that God, though I don't see it coming, though I can't feel it, I can't feel the wind blowing against the back of my neck while I'm digging and thinking, here it's coming right now, amen. But out of nowhere, God, while I'm putting forth the effort, while I'm worshiping him, while I'm down dancing in a dry ditch and saying, this seems ridiculous, amen, I don't know why God is asking me to do this, that God can move in a supernatural way and bring a miracle to me in the way that I least expected him to.